Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You have probably heard accounts of how ancient civilizations across the globe would repeat stories over and over as they sit around the fire in the evening, or as they eat meals together, or as they move from place to place. Gathering and hunting and raising children occupied much of their time. When there could be free time, it was often spent by retelling stories, accounts from the previous generation, and accounts from the generations that have gone before them, accounts from the great things that their forefathers had done. Included in retelling many stories would be the telling of their religion and their beliefs, instilling morals in the next generation, teaching their understanding of the faith, fashioning and molding their children to be like the parents. Sounds like a good way to live, without those modern distractions of technology, without the self-absorbed focus on the individual, because it took a community to survive, and with making family and community a priority. Thousands of years ago, the whole world knew one language, as we heard in our Old Testament reading. They could tell the great works of God to the next generation. They could explain how God had created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. They could talk about how wonderful the Garden of Eden was and the changes that came as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. They could talk about the long lives of those who lived before the great flood in the days of Noah. They could recount how Enoch did not die, but he walked with God and was received into heaven. They could talk about the work of Noah as he built the ark and as he and his family survived the flood, which also changed everything. They could speak of how God graciously saved a remnant through that ark. And above all, they could speak of the promised Messiah, that their Savior would come to deliver them from their many sins. Through the lineage of Noah, God would send his only begotten Son, who would pay for the sins of the entire world through his sacrificial death. To serve as a reminder of the coming Messiah, and to give thanks to God for his many mercies, the people would build altars and offer to God their sacrifices. The importance of these things was told and retold as the people engaged in these practices. But as we heard in our reading, the people decided on one occasion to use their building skills to build a tower which would reach the heavens. The people had been migrating after the great flood of Noah, and they wanted to ensure that people from all over would see a great city by looking up and seeing a great tower. Instead of praising God and extolling God's name, these people decided that they wanted to make a great name for themselves. They wanted to show off their strength and their abilities, their knowledge, and what they perceived as their own created skill. This tower, they figured, would prevent the people from being dispersed over the whole earth. God, seeing all things and knowing all things, saw what they were building. Their singular language was proving to be damaging to themselves, for they would band together. They would use their collective skills and know-how to do things other than glorifying God. So God confused the people by changing their language. The multitude no longer spoke one language when God visited them as they were constructing the Tower of Babel. But now one would speak this new language and another would speak that new language. This made their progress in building the tower impossible, and so the people who figured by building the tower would prevent them from being scattered over the face of the earth, now unable to understand one another, become scattered over the face of the whole earth. The act of telling their story continued for generation after generation. Even after languages were confused, they preserved a remnant of the biblical truth and narrative. We can see that in cultures across the globe would tell of accounts of a great flood. Their stories do not agree with one another, but they have their origin of telling the story of the flood in the true great flood during the days of Noah. For example, the Native Americans spoke of how God saved some people by way of a raven during some sort of worldwide flood. Of course, their account is incorrect. However, the idea of a worldwide flood was correct. Now, this is no surprise, for ancient cultures told and retold their stories of their fathers and forefathers to the coming generations. Written accounts, though, would develop gradually, but not so among the Hebrew people, for God had preserved written accounts that would be passed on to Moses, who would then complete the first five books of the Bible. And so we have accurate accounts of our world's origins, the fall of man into sin, the flood, the promise given to Abraham, and so on. And these written accounts have been copied and presented to the generations to come for thousands of years. Ancient biblical manuscripts in the original Hebrew of the Old Testament and Aramaic of the Old Testament and Greek of the New Testament have been discovered and have been compared with modern copies of the Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. And you know what? They match. The scriptures are confirmed to be true, unlike the religious literature of other oral traditions and other cultures. God is not the God of division, but He is the God of unity. He is not the God of discord, but He is the God of order. And so He sent His Son to set things aright, who now reigns at the right hand of the Father. Jesus told His disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on this day, just 50 days after our Lord's resurrection, and just 10 days after our Lord's ascension, the Holy Spirit came just as Jesus had promised. He came on the Feast of Pentecost, which the Israelite people were commanded to observe in Jerusalem as a festival to give thanks to God for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And so God used an ancient feast that was commanded by Moses in the Old Testament to serve as the day in which the Holy Spirit would come. This makes sense, for multitudes were gathered in Jerusalem in accordance to the command of God for that annual feast. And now God, having gathered the people together, sends His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and He demonstrates His presence through the tongues of fire, through the rushing mighty wind, and the people's opportunity to hear the great works of God in their own language. Those barriers that were created with the Tower of Babel are now taken down at Pentecost. But still to this day, there are barriers in language which present challenges. At Pentecost, though, God began removing these barriers, and so many would hear the word of Christ. The advancements that we have enjoyed over the centuries, especially those in this past century, have been amazing. One may wonder, how much further along would we be if the whole world had spoken a single language all along? But if we begin to wonder such things, we have forgotten the purpose of what God did to the people as they were constructing the Tower of Babel. that we are not to use our God-given abilities so that we can glorify man, but instead we are to use our God-given abilities so that we can give glory to him. For he made us, and he sustains all of creation. We are to use our gift of language to keep on telling the story, the true account of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work to save us from our sin. We are to do as the people did in the ancient civilizations, to speak and to retell the wondrous accounts of our Lord to our children and to our neighbors and to all who enter our homes and our lives. We are to speak the impressive miracles which our Lord performed as he conducted his public ministry. We are to speak of his birth, his life, his ministry, his crucifixion, his resurrection, ascension, reign, and upcoming judgment. We are to speak of how he loved us and bore our own sin in his own body, how he shed his innocent blood on our behalf as the ransom payment for our sin. We are to speak of how God has reconciled us to himself through his Son. We are to speak of these things, knowing that they are of utmost importance. In fact, there's no message more important in this life than to know of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death and resurrection, in which he defeats Satan, takes away the sin of the world, and swallows up death in victory. Sadly, though, this art of telling the story to the next generation, repeating the biblical narrative, this art is diminishing. Instead of speaking these stories, we expect religious experts to do it for us. Parents delegate their God-given responsibility of teaching their children the Christian faith to other teachers. Christians are increasingly unwilling to confess their faith to others, for they figure they're not an expert and it's the pastor's job anyway. Yet it is impossible for the pastor to develop the same relationships and receive the same opportunities to confess the faith as all of you have with your neighbors and your relatives. Plaguing our society is the constant thirst for media, things that satisfy our innate cravings for new thrills and greater exhilaration. Everyday conversation is now regarded as dull or boring, for speech cannot compete with the well-choreographed media that is all around us. A single man's speech will not produce the same emotional excitement as watching all the action and hearing all the emotion-rousing music that you might hear at a sporting event. But perhaps COVID-19 is teaching us something that we knew all along. Personal human speech and personal human interaction and even personal human touch are all important. They are vital for the well-being of human beings. While they may all seem to be way so simple or too simple when compared to any internet media and TV broadcasts, these types of personal interaction are what we truly need. Some speak of social distancing as our new normal, but it will never be normal, for we thrive on human touch and human speech, not on screens or on media. God himself demonstrates this reality when he sent his Son in the flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus, the Son of God, became man, and he walked the face of the earth. He preached the Word. He spent time with the people. And he instituted the ministry so that under-shepherds today would continue to be in the flesh among God's people. They are not sent to impress people by their smooth speech or skills in multimedia, but they are sent to preach the Word in season and out of season and to be present among God's people. The same Spirit who performed the wondrous works of God at Pentecost is at work today in the servants whom God sends. The God who confused languages at Babel brought people together in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and God continues to gather his people together to this day. For we do not have services in Hebrew or Greek or Latin or German. Instead, our services here are in your language, in the English language. A miracle of Pentecost that is still happening today is that we hear God's word in our own language, and therefore we can speak it freely and hear it plainly. And so let us tell it to the next generation. Let us speak of it continually to our neighbors and our children. As it is written in Deuteronomy 6, when we sit in our homes, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, and when we rise. For we have great stories to tell, true accounts by which God the Holy Spirit is at work to bring salvation to those who hear. We know of the true account of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is crucified to take away our sins, and who is risen to serve as the first fruits of the resurrection and grants us eternal life. We, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are reconciled to God our Father, and heaven is open to us. These blessings are communicated by God to us through the simple use of human voice. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work and is present through this word. We give thanks to God for it, and we give all glory to him. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.